I'd like to continue this evening with the psalm we were looking at this morning. It's Psalm 84 and it's page 526 in the Chapel Bible. I'll read it through again just to remind us of it and then I'll just carry on. Psalm 84, page 526. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altar, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength, each one appearing before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be the doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. We started this morning by just making this observation. The psalmist, the one who wrote this psalm, was a man who was deeply in love, infatuated with his God. We saw that the word tabernacle there was a word that is a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ in his bodily form. And this man is in love with that God. And as we come to the end of the psalm, he states it in another way. He says, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather spend one day with you, Lord. I would rather spend one day near you than a thousand days anywhere else. Whether it be Disneyland, Paris or wherever, I would rather spend one day with you. And look, and my experience would, I would go beyond him and I would say, to spend a moment in your presence, Lord, is better than spending a thousand lifetimes anywhere else. And then as he speaks about the God who he loves, he goes on and says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wicked. A doorkeeper, the lowest of the lowest servants, the servants of the servants, the vilest of the servants, were given the job as doorkeeper. It was the most dangerous, wretched place to be. You were without the tent. You were there guarding the tent. Any danger that would come, you would be the first one to experience it. You would be the one that would have to sleep in the cold outside while the rest resided within the tent. But the psalmist's love for his God is so strong that he said, I would be that lowly servant. I would be that wretched one who is kept just outside your presence, as it were, rather than dwell in the tents of the wicked, the tents of luxury, the tents where all the good things of this world are. And so in those verses, he's expressing again that here we have a man who loves his God. And so as we pick up where we left off this morning, verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. What he's saying here is this. The man whose strength does not come from himself. It doesn't come from anything else, anyone else. But his strength comes from the Lord, is a blessed man. And that word blessed is happy, but more than happy. A happiness that God undergirds, underwrites, a happiness that God guarantees and protects. An eternal happiness, a happiness that you cannot lose. So blessed is the man who has God, has his strength. When we were young, some of you still are young, we could remember when we could stay up all night and talk into to the late hours. When we could get up early in the morning, when we could do our day's work and then go on and do an evening's work. When we could watch the TV and listen to the radio and do our homeworks all at the same time. And my mother would be there and she would be saying, David, how can you do that? Turn the radio off, turn the television off, concentrate on your homework. And I would say, no, Mum, I can do all three. And now I'm a little bit older. And I can't do all three, and the radio's got to go off, and the telly's got to go off, and I've got to go and sit in my bedroom quietly and meditate and study and do my work. That's because I'm getting older. If you look closely at me, you'll see I've got bags under my eyes and wrinkles, and I've got a little bit of grey in my beard. I'm getting older, and I'm beginning to lose my strength. Now, one day, some of you have gone beyond me, I can see, but one day you'll feel like I'm feeling now, and the first flush, that strength, that youthful vigour will begin to fail, and all the other energies and all the vitamin tablets and all the exercise programs in the world won't be able to help you. But on that day, this is what Isaiah says in chapter 40, even the youth shall faint, and the weary and the young man shall fall exhausted. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on the wings of eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. I love that picture in the Narnia Chronicles, where finally they go through the stable and they go into the new land. Do you know what I'm talking about? And they're suddenly going through the grass. But the air is beautiful and fresh. It's like food to them. And they find themselves beginning to run faster and faster and faster. And the energy that they have and the strength that they have is given to them by God. And they can do things that they couldn't imagine that they could have done back in this world. And so the psalmist says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Blessed is the man who has that ever-flowing strength. The old man, you can see it. You can look at me. You can look at me. It's all right. Look up. The old man is perishing. This body that is my body is perishing. But the Lord has given me a heart that is being renewed daily. The inner man that isn't growing old and weak and dying. But in the new man, day by day, I'm knowing new vigour and new strength. I've sat in my ministry many times by old dying people. And you sit there and you say a prayer with them. And then you begin to sing a hymn. And it might be that hymn we just sang, "And Can It Be?" And slowly their faces change. And they begin to join in. Because somewhere deep inside them, there is a life. And they begin to sing, maybe feebly with their broken, dying bodies, they sing, "And can it be? My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth and followed thee." And you know their bodies are never going to get out of that bed. But you know their spirits are running into the presence of God. And I've been and I've seen that. I hope some of you have too. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Whose heart is set on pilgrimage. The word pilgrimage there in the original gives the picture of a broad roadway in which they would be travelling along, a paved road, maybe in our modern understanding, a motorway, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Now, as we think about that, whose heart is set on a road, I want to say this to you. Before you were converted, before you came to know the Lord, your heart was very different than it is now. And in this passage, we have a picture of our hearts now. A heart that is on a journey. A heart that is on a road and it's going somewhere. That's the heart of the regenerate man. That's the heart of the believer. The heart of the unregenerate man is a roadless heart. It's a journeyless heart. It's like being in a jungle. You've probably seen on the TVs pictures of jungles and you're just surrounded by a green wall. There is no road. There is no path to follow. There may be an animal track that you can follow, but it's dangerous to follow animal tracks in the jungle, isn't it? Because whatever made that track, if you follow it far enough, you're going to actually find the animal you're following. And who knows what it could be. And that's what the human heart is like before God comes into it, before God changes it, before God makes it new. It's a jungle. Can you imagine if I took you from here tonight and I took you out onto some moors somewhere and it's snowing and it's dark and I don't give you a map and I don't give you a torch and I don't give you a compass and it's cloudy so you can't see the stars and I say, yeah, there you go. And I drive off and I leave you then because the snow's falling quickly. Even my tire tracks are soon covered in the snow. And there you are in the middle of nowhere. And you say, which way do I go? Which way do I go? Which way is the quickest way home? How do I get to somewhere safe? How do I get out of this cold? How do I get out of the snow? How do I get out of here? There is no road. There is no pathway home. There is no pilgrimage for you there. You've just got to go this way. And then you'll go a little bit that way. And before you know it, you've walked in a circle and you're back to where you started. You're completely and utterly lost. And that's the heart of the unbeliever. They don't have roadways. When God regenerates a man, he comes into a man and he changes his mind. He changes his heart. He gives him a road to walk and he says, I am the way. Follow me. And that road leads to paradise. That road leads to heaven. You ever wondered why when you're talking to non-believers, they don't get it? They don't understand. It's because they're lost. It's because they don't have the map that you have. They don't have the word that speaks to you and draws you to God. They don't have that roadway. And they look at you with your map and your roadway and your changed mind and your changed heart and the knowledge that you have. And they don't understand you either. How can he make that jump from here to there? Well, the answer is you have a roadway and they don't. A roadway that leads to God. So blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage, whose heart is set on the roadway to God. But listen to what this roadway is. They pass through the valley of Baca. Now, the valley of Baca is a dry desert wilderness. God leads them. God has given them a road to walk. But it's not an easy road. It's a hard road. It's a dangerous road. It's a wilderness road. There are wild beasts and vagabonds and all sorts of dangers along this road. And my brothers and sisters, listen to me now and listen to me carefully. We're at the beginning of a new year. It's just February. January's already gone. And I don't know what this year has in store for you, but I know this. God doesn't promise to give us an easy road to walk. He is going to give us difficult roads to walk in difficult ways. And he does that through the difficulties, he might test you and prove you and bring you to a full knowledge of himself and a full knowledge of yourself. James puts it like this: consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, knowing this, that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and so on, until you're brought into the fullness of the character that God has for you. Through this valley of Baca, we all know the 23rd Psalm. He leads me through the valley of the shadows of death. But I won't fear. Why? Because you are with me, my rod and my staff, they comfort me. The Lord deliberately leads us through difficult times. He leads us through the valley of Baca. That is the road that he so often sets before us. He sets the table. Where? Where does he set that table of rejoicing, that table of feasting from the 23rd Psalm? In the presence of mine enemies. You're sat there feasting around the table, maybe this table. And as you look into the congregation, you see the world and they're grinding their teeth and they're showing their fists and they want to destroy you. But they can't. But God sets us a feast in the presence of our enemies. We are called to walk the road that goes through Baca. But listen, and listen to this as well. They make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. As the Christian walks the valley of Baca, he changes it. As the Lord walks through, as Christians walk along that difficult and hard road, we change it. It becomes not a desert. But according to this, they make it springs. Springs of living water. I want to read something to you that I think says basically the same thing. It's Ezekiel chapter 37. It's page 766 in your Bibles. This is Ezekiel speaking. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter in you, and you shall live. And so Ezekiel begins to prophesy over the dry bones in the dry valley. And those bones begin to knit together and take on flesh, and those bones begin to live. And the Lord Jesus Christ has given us a message of salvation, a message of a God who came to earth and died upon the cross to appease a God of wrath, to appease the God of wrath and pour out blessing upon us, to take men who are dead in their trespasses and sin, men who are long dead, and by the Holy Spirit that becomes a fountain of living water within us, speak to them. Prophesy over them. Share with them the word of God, the words that we know so well from our Bibles. And we see those dry valleys turned. God has given us an amazing gift in the gospel. A gift of his gospel to share. And as we share it in the valley, in the dry, hard valley of Baca, we see life springing forth. We see lives changed. And we make the difference. God has commissioned his church to go into the world and preach the gospel. And through the preaching of the gospel, many will come to know him. And we are to disciple them and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So God has put into our hearts a road, a pilgrimage through a dry, difficult valley, through hardships. But we change those hardships through the word that he gives to us. And we see men and women saved. The rain also covers it with pools. In this land of Israel, when you talk about the rain, you talk about blessing. It was the rain that was poured out, the water that was poured out. And the Lord would say to you tonight, you haven't got to go on your own and share the gospel. You haven't got to go on your own and speak. I'm going to my Father's house, and it's good for you that I go. Because when I go, I will pour out the Holy Spirit on you. And when the Holy Spirit comes, here's a question for you. Does the Holy Spirit only work with the church? And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness. And the rain will fall upon us in the dry valley, in the valley of Baca. And we will speak to the dry bones. And by the Spirit of God, the conviction of sin and righteousness will be brought forth by the Holy Spirit. And from the world around us, there will be those that are brought to the knowledge of God. And the rains will come. My brothers and sisters, this man who wrote this psalm was a man who loved the Lord. He saw himself as a small man, but a man that God had chosen and protected. A man who God had put into his mind and his heart a roadway to follow. A man who was strengthened by God. A man who knew something of rising up on the wings of eagles, of running and not growing tired. A man who knew something of even though the old man without perishes, yet at the same time the new man is renewed moment by moment. A man who had walked through the dry valley of Baca and experienced the pains and the sufferings of that. But even there in the valley of Baca, he had known the blessings of God, and it had not been a dry, dead place. But because of his presence there and his prophesying there, there had been pools covered with water. And the Spirit of God was poured out. They go from strength to strength, each one appears before God. And as we walk that road and as we speak those words and as we receive the Spirit, we go from strength to strength until we appear in the presence of God. I don't know what tomorrow or next year or the rest of this month holds. But God has put a roadway in my heart, and I will follow it. And I will delight in the pilgrimage that he has set before me. The road will lead through hard places. I tell you that, and I know that. But I also know, and if I were to tell you some of the things we've seen and experienced as missionaries in Albania, we've been in the dry and the hard places, but we've known the presence of God with us. And we've seen God turn situations upside down. And we've seen the dry land converted and becoming a land flowing with milk and honey. And we've seen something of God moving in conviction in men's lives, men that hated God. And this man loves God. And that's what this man has seen. Will you set out upon that road? Will you set out upon that pilgrimage? Will you become that man that loves the pilgrimage, that will follow wherever he goes? And will you bring blessing to the valley of Baca? Let's pray. Father God, it's very easy to stand in a pulpit. It's very easy to sit in a church. It's very easy to be your followers here. Lord, it's a different thing on Monday morning in work. It's a different thing amongst those colleagues that mock us and joke with us. And yet, Lord, we confess that you have laid a road before us, and we will walk in it, and we will walk towards you, and we will own you as our Lord and our Saviour. And Lord, we will confess you and prophesy and speak about you. And Lord, we will expect you to move by your Holy Spirit and bless that road, because we are there for your glory and for your honour. Amen.